All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Wednesday, October 1st of 2025. Looking ahead here, we already have MLB action underway today. Good luck to all of you playing some MLB. We have golf teeing off early tomorrow morning, and then NFL returns tomorrow as well. So should be a fun day of DFS. Those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions, get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days and get your questions answered. All right. With that said, let's get SaberSim pulled up here. Did have some questions come in prior to the show, so we will start there and then kind of see where we go from there. So, all right, first question. Can you explain what the use/advantage is to using lineup groups and not just one lineup group for your entire portfolio? Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. So, this is something I was talking to some people about recently, right? They're like, hey, you know, if I have a 20 max and like a 150, for instance, right? And then let's say that I set a minimum exposure of like 10% to McCaffrey. The exposures that you set get sent to each group individually, right? But if I had one big group and I set a 10%, it goes 10% total. So 10% of 170 is 17, right? I could end up in a situation where 17 out of my 20 McCaffrey lineups go to the 20 max and zero of the 17 go to the 150 max, right? So there are some considerations as far as like adjustments go. Sometimes, you know, some people are setting so many minimax exposures that grouping them all together is actually better. You're more likely to get all of the exposures you want with them together as opposed to being separate, right? So there's going to be like pros and cons to both. I think ultimately having them split out into separate groups allows you to have a little bit more control over the lineups that go into each one. And then the other thing, right, is that you can click on a group and get a highlight and kind of see what those exact exposures are for those lineups. You can, you know, easily, when you have lineups built, click the drop down, see what lineups are in this contest, which lineups are in the other. So I think it's okay to do one or the other. It just kind of depends how much control you want, how much control you need, right? Some people are very hands-on. Some people are a lot more hands-off. Some people take what the builder gives them. Some people set up a lot of minimax exposures. So all of that, I think it's good that you have options because so many people play DFS differently, right? Some people come at it one way. Some people come at it another way. The good news, right, is that there's always more than one path to victory, and you don't need to follow a specific set of steps and like there's only one way to win and you must play this way in order to win. That's not true, right? You could do a bunch of different processes, you know, your strategy, right? You can have different strategies and you can still be a winning player. So figure out which one kind of suits your needs the best and I would just roll with that. All right, next question. Why is a $3 entry $60 max, a 20 max low stakes entry? I would think it would be a flagship MME entry. Just asking, trying to figure this out. Also, is there a video how to use flashback option effectively? Okay, two questions here. We'll go one at a time. First one is, why is the $3 20 max considered a low stakes contest? So this part's a little tricky, okay? The reason for this is because DraftKings has a certain guideline, okay, where players that are, you know, so good can play certain contests, like their fair play guidelines, where users with $1 million or more in winnings can't play contests under $3 I'm going to write this out. So these are like effectively the guidelines. They're somewhere. We have it written somewhere. So it's a contest that is under $3, which is like less than $3. And the prize pool is less than $25,000. Okay. So this is like step one, right? So players in the lobby cannot see contests. Actually, I think it's $5. No, I think it's $3. It's something like this, where they can't see a contest under, no, I'm actually sure it's $5. Under $5 if the prize pool is less than 25K, okay? Like the giant squids, the shady advices, they'll never be able to see contests where the entry fee is less than $5 and the prize pool is less than 25K. So less than $5 and prize pool less than 25K. However, they can see contests that are greater than or equal. I think I did my stuff wrong. I think this is less than $5. Less than $5, less than 25K. And then they can see contests that are greater than or equal to $3 if the prize pool is greater than or equal to 25,000. Okay. So it gets weird, right? Because what if you have a contest where it's $4, but the prize pool is 20,000, right? Well, the best players in the lobby won't actually see that contest, right? Okay. And then this is coming back to me. And then they can't see any contest less than $3. Can't see any contest less than $3. Okay. So I'm almost positive this is it. So the best players in the lobby, let me remove my face, can't see any contest under $3, so like $2.99, right? They can see contests that are $3 if the prize pool is greater than or equal to $25,000, but they can't see contests less than $5, like $4.99, if the prize pool is less than $25,000. So they can see a $5 single entry if it's they can see a $5 single entry no matter what, because that's more than $4.99, right? That would be like equal to. So there's obviously a lot of different like scenarios here, right? Like if this, then that, if that, then this, et cetera, et cetera. So we basically just have it set up on our end where $3 gets counted as low stakes. Now they can, the best players in the lobby can obviously see the $3 20 max because the play action has a prize pool of 300K, right? So all that to say, I think it is okay to come in here and change the big play action to flagship 20 max. Sometimes they open up we call it like a respawn contest where basically this one fills. They open up a new one for users to play as the slate gets closer. Usually, or sometimes, that second contest will be below the 25K threshold. Well, now you might be able to see it, but a lot of other players might not be able to see it. So that's what's happening there. Again, I think it's totally okay to change it if you want, but that's kind of where all that logic comes from, all those different rules. So hopefully that sheds some light. All right, second part. Is there a video on how to use Flashback properly? Yeah, absolutely. So let me put myself back. So I would go to the top right corner. I would go to help. I would go to Saber Sim Tutorials. And I would watch this using contest flashback in Saber Sim video. Okay, it's going to be the best one to walk you through flashback, how to best use it, and what to do with that information. So check out that video. All right. Next question. Love the groups, but trying to take down a tournament and thinking flagship MME is the best way. So I would just, at least like for simming purposes, right? I would sim against whatever the default bucket is here, unless you want to change like that $3.20 max, for instance. As far as like your ownership goes over here, right? This is more just kind of descriptive. It is a number that you can use to get a sense for where you are over or under the field, right? But the specific contest ownerships are being used in the contest sims. This is more just a sense of, okay, I have 50% McCaffrey. He's about 30% owned. What you can do is change this to match your primary contest that you're building for, right? If your primary contest is the $3.20 max, okay, and you're changing your bucket to flagship 20 max, okay, change it to flagship 20 max to match, right? That way you can get a sense for what your leverage is, right? Because if you're playing a high-stakes single entry, well, maybe the ownerships are going to be different, right, than if you're playing like a low-stakes MME or something like that, right? Players can fluctuate a bit here. So that'd be my advice. That option will be only available for Ultimate users who can see the different buckets. If you're on Starter, you're only going to see flagship MME, which is just like the main ownership on any given night that you'll see across the industry. So I would just be okay with using that. All right. Next question. If I'm using lineup groups, but I go into my pool and pick a lineup to lock, SaberSim always seems to lock into whichever group is listed first on the panel on the right. I was hoping it would rerun a diversification and place that lineup in whichever lineup group it thought was best. Any workaround I can use, or are there plans to incorporate something like that? I wouldn't say there are plans to incorporate something like that. It's not something I've heard too much discussion around. I think that, you know, what you can probably do, right, we'll just like generate some lineups. So the reason it's going into your top one is because SaberSim fills the lineups from the top down, right? So like it does group one, and then it does group two, and then it does group three, right? For as many groups as you have. Now, since you're locking a lineup that it chose not to use, it's just going to put it into the top one, which usually like your highest dollar per entry contest is listed first. That's the way we set it up. Now, what you could do, right, is you could take the lineup and send it to whichever group you want, right? So what I would do is go to the settings, turn off this use compact lineup view, okay? And then like, watch, let's diversify. Okay, we're gonna get our lineups, we're gonna get our exposures. All right, so let's say I click the lineup pool dropdown. Now let's say I'm scrolling through my pool, right? And then all of a sudden I really like, we'll go like a little further down. $221, right? For instance, right? I really like this line. Okay. I can send this lineup to a group with this little icon over on the right. It's like an up arrow on a page. I click this. I have options. Send to a group in current build, create new build with this lineup, or send to favorites. Okay, well, let's say I want to do send to group in current build. All right, it's going to ask me, hey, which group do you want to send this to? Let's say I just pick the top one. All right, I'm going to pick the top one. It's going to send the lineup to that group. And then when I come into that group, it should be here somewhere. And I'm assuming it's going to be a lot further down. I think we can hack this a little bit, where if I change my number of lineups to one, and then diversify. I might have made these groups too big. Yeah, so because I locked the lineup, it prioritizes the lineup. So even though now I went from 150 lineups in this group down to one, it's making sure to use the one that I locked, right? Maybe I should have sent it to group two to like go more in line with the question. But in that pop-up, right? I could have sent the lineup to any group that I wanted, right? I could have sent it to a different one. So I would consider trying out that option where you can send the lineup to whichever group you want so you can have a little bit more control of where it lands other than just letting it pop into the top one only. All right. I've noticed that setting the sliders to 0-1 when late swapping usually results in the largest possible late swap pool. I've never heard this discussed before, so I'd really like to hear your thoughts on this. I ended up binking yesterday's main slate in the solo shot, but my flashback ROI was negative. I heard Shady say that late swap tends to make flashback ROIs negative. All right, good question. First off, congrats on the bink. That's always a good thing, is taking down a contest. Now, I've never experimented enough with the sliders to get to the point where I understand, like, hey, I had no idea that doing 0-1 will get you to a more lineups in the pool than, you know, maybe 0-9 or something like that, right? It's not something I've tested a bunch. So that if that's something you've discovered and, you know, you want to build as big of a pool as you can, then that's fine. I would say you probably lose a little upside doing that potentially, right? Because now your lineups aren't being optimized for higher upside outcomes. So I would just understand the pros and cons. And if you value the pool greater and then you're like, okay, well, I just want to build as much lineups as I can and then let the contest sim figure out which ones are still high ROI enough to play, then that's totally cool, right? That's like a fine approach. You're basically letting the contest sim figure it out. I think your baseline of upside might be a little bit lower, but hopefully you've built enough extra lineups to kind of offset that. So those are the type of things that come to mind with regard to that. Now, as far as your flashback ROI, you know, there's a couple different things, right, that lead to like a negative flashback ROI. It's really hard to tell without looking and like analyzing. We do still do build reviews upon request. So if you're interested in a build review, just send an email to support@sabersim.com. Say, hey, I was hoping to have one of the coaches check out my lineups from Monday 2-game NFL Classic slate. And then one of our coaches can check that out and get back to you. So that's the news there. I've never heard this part. I'm not saying you haven't. I'm not saying Shady didn't say this, but my initial thoughts tend to be a little bit different. So I heard Shady say that late swap tends to make flashback ROIs negative. So the way I see this is, what is flashback doing, right? It's taking the actual lineups and it is playing them out. Right. What we're doing is we're taking your lineups, we're putting them in a contest sim against the other lineups in the contest, and then we are playing that out and figuring out which lineups make the most money. Late swap is closer to that than pre-slate is, because late swap is using actual lineup ownership, right? It's seeing how high guys are owned, it's seeing the pieces of the lineups that are visible. You know, there might be 9 players in the lineup. Maybe you can only see 5. Maybe you can only see 4. Maybe sometimes it sees 8. Maybe some people play all of their lineups from the early games or something like that, right? So in that sense, the late swap contest sim is closer to flashback because it knows, even let's say 50, it knows what 50% of the lineups are, and then it can make smart inferences about what the rest of the lineups most likely are, right? That's how it updates the ownership. It's like, okay, we think that, you know, these are like the most likely swap options, you know, and they come in like this probability and things like that. So I would feel that late swap doesn't make your flashback ROI more negative. But I would obviously have to hear like the other side of that argument as to like why somebody who is obviously smart and like a pro would say that. So those are just like my initial thoughts. I'm obviously open to like a broader discussion and having my mind changed, but that is like the first thing that comes to mind with regard to late swap being bad for flashback ROI. I would imagine it's good for flashback ROI. And then I would also imagine it is good for your actual lineups, right? Taking advantage of live data, live ownership, updated projections, things like that. So I would never discourage anybody from late swapping. I think late swapping is very, very valuable. All right. Samuel, when doing late swap, which ones for NFL are best to use when using build one instead of default? Okay. So if you, okay. So it sounds like to me, you are simming against your own build in late swap. Now, if you are doing that, because you're saying, you're saying using build one instead of default, if I'm following, right? So like, I'm assuming you're switching from using the default field to your own build. Okay. Actually doesn't. Thank you for the clarification. First off, if anybody is doing that, okay, I would caution against it. The main reason I would caution against it is because you are not playing a contest solely against yourself. You're basically assuming that your pool of lineups represents the entire field. And I think that's wrong. You know, you need to put your lineups and variations of your lineups up against the actual representative field to figure out which variations work the best, right? Putting your variations against each other, you know, what if I have like 100% McCaffrey, but the field only has like 20%, right? I should want to know that 80% of the field does not have McCaffrey, not just assuming everyone has him, right? So I would caution against using your own build in late swap just in general, but that doesn't sound like what the question's about. So we'll continue on. So with regard to, okay, late swap settings, okay? This is going to depend on how many adjustments you make, all right? Like, let's say I like having a high minimum salary on my classic slates, right? Maybe I am doing a really high minimum salary of like 49.8, right? Well, if I do default, the default's going to go back to like 48,000, right? So now in my late swap, I'm saying I'm okay playing lineups that are 48,000. But what if I'm not, right? Well, okay. Well, if I'm not, then I should carry over my settings from my build one to my late swap, right? What if you don't care? What if you didn't really make any adjustments? Okay. You know, default's fine. Like, you didn't really change anything, so it's not going to matter. What if you set minimax exposures, right? Well, you probably want to carry those over if you still care about those, right? But what if you're like, I cared about it for the morning games, but now I just want to take advantage of the live data and I'm willing to, you know, play different level of exposures for different players depending on how my morning has gone so far. Okay, you know, switch to default, right? There's a bunch of different kind of scenarios you can run into where one is better than the other. So it's going to depend on how many changes you're making. If you're not making any changes, that makes it a little bit simpler. You know, what do you want to prioritize, your exposures? Or, you know, what if you're open to changing your mind, right? So there's a lot of different things there. But you should be able to ask yourself those questions and then figure out, is it better to carry over my stuff pre-built or is it better to just run default now? All right. Elusive Smoke, I will get back to you in Discord. I won't follow up here, but I do have some information on that front. Yes, so I'll follow up. But aside from that, I think we're caught up here on both questions in the YouTube and Discord. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern, for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.